Welcome to our podcast, The Positive Edge, where we discover how we as young individuals can better ourselves and the world around us. We dive into all things about self-development, everything from finding motivation and purpose to practicing self-care in today's day and age.
And we are your hosts. Daniel is a commercial pilot and motivational speaker, and I'm Juliana, a social media consultant and strategist. We're both in our early 20s trying to navigate life while documenting that with you and sharing our tips and learnings along the way.
And speaking of learning, Juliana, this week you and I, we had a little assignment from the last episode. We both agreed that we would try to meditate for 1 week straight.
Yes, we did.
How did that go for you?
I think it went well, yeah. I meditated to Boho Beautiful's meditation sessions that I recommended in the last podcast episode. So I did that every single morning and it felt great. What difference do you feel like it made throughout the week?
I would say from an early start in the day, you get a sense of, you know, that little extra. You get more calm, you get more clear in your mind of what you have to do. But the reality is, just like the episode and what we're going to be talking about today, which is habits, then starting a new habit, in this case meditating for 1 day, for a week straight at least, is also building a new habit. So on my behalf, at least, to be honest, I didn't always do it in the morning. I also did it in the evening as well, which is okay. And I really just think it's more about just finding what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never easy to start something new. But I would say I got it done and I got a tremendous amount of good and positive energy out of it.
Yeah, it's hard to feel the difference like right away, but we'll get into that too. Like once you do a little something every single day, you'll be able to reflect on it after a long period of time and actually see like the difference it made. But yeah, I feel much more calm like throughout the day, and it's just a nice way to like start the morning. I feel like Boho Beautiful has like created a meditation session specifically for uncertain times, and I just really loved that one. It was a really good one. I think I shared it with you too.
Yeah, good stuff. So on my behalf, I'm not using the Boho Beautiful. I'm using Spotify, just writing guided meditation there. And I really think it's very nice in the evening if you've had a long day or something, just to listen to some waves with a calming voice just telling you to relax and sort of let go of the all of the thoughts just flowing through your head. All right, so that's for the meditation. The topic today is definitely habits. We're going to be speaking a little bit about how do we build effective habits? What's discipline? And consequences of building habits, good and bad. So if we just start out by actually just sort of defining habits.
Mm-hmm.
So according to dictionary.com, I believe, a habit is an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be the habit of looking both ways before you cross the street. So it could also be many other things, obviously. But if we start out by just sort of approaching, how do we build effective habits? What's your approach to that, Juliana?
Well, I think we should probably acknowledge that we're not perfect either, like to begin with, because I often feel like you see so many people on YouTube and all of that who just got their morning routine locked down, you know? So yeah, we both have some things that we like struggle with in terms of habits. At the moment, I'm actually reading Atomic Habits by James Clear. And a quote that I really like from that book is that if you can get 1% better each day for 1 year, you get 37 times better by the time you're done. But if you're getting 1% worse each day, then you're declining down to nearly zero. So it basically just means that like small wins and minor setbacks accumulate into something much more. And I think it's really relevant today, like to talk about habits and all that, because we have this pressure on ourselves to make earth-shattering changes, and often we think that massive change requires massive actions. And especially in today's day and age where everything is so instant, I know that for myself. Like I work in social media, I love like instant results and being able to measure those results, looking at different metrics and all of that. So it's something that I constantly have to remind myself too.
Yep. I agree for sure. So if we just sort of dive into, obviously we're here speaking about habits and everything, but I think it's very important for us. As we said in previous episodes, just to be honest and upfront with everything.
Yeah.
Yelena, if we are to mention one bad habit we each have ourselves.
Okay.
I'll go first, then you can think about yours meanwhile. But at least I would say for me, something I want to improve is my habits when it comes to food. I'm a real, I wouldn't even call it foodie. I'm a real, I'll eat whatever that tastes good kind of guy. And up in my mind, the response to that has just been working out a little bit more. But it's obviously like anything else. It's something I think that needs to be controlled to a certain extent. But that's my bad habit. Okay. What is yours?
My bad habit is that I'm not great at working out on a regular basis, first of all. And then another one is that I have a bad habit of like going to bed really late. But I think it's also important to just acknowledge that like some people are more effective in the morning and some people are more effective in the evening and so on. And I happen to be one of those people who feel super focused in the evening. But I know that I really want to get into a routine where I go to bed before 12 o'clock, like before midnight. And that I can wake up a little bit earlier. So that's something I'm working on right now, actually. I'm trying to set, like go to bed a little bit early for each day and wake up a little bit earlier each day. But it's definitely something that takes time and practice.
Yeah, definitely. I can see how it takes time and practice. So I remember before we started the podcast here, you spoke about James Clear. He basically created 4 laws of behavioral change. Can you sort of share with the audience what laws it actually is?
Yeah, so he talks about the 4 laws of behavior change when it comes to creating new habits. And first of all, he says to make it obvious, to make it attractive, to make it easy, to make it satisfying, as in like rewarding yourself by the end of the day. He talks a lot about like friction. And when I think about friction, I often think of it in context to like consumer behavior. So you often mention friction when it comes to like online shopping, trying to get customers to have the least amount of steps to go through in order to buy a product. And it's basically the same thing here. He says that if you need to work out in the morning, like put out your workout clothes in front of you, like next to your bed, so you can put it on right away.
Yeah.
So just creating as little steps as possible to like get into that routine.
Yeah, I got to share something on that. About 6 months ago, I really wanted to get into the whole running routine. I've never been a fan of running, and honestly, I'm still not a big fan of running, but that's also a motivation for me, because if there's something I don't like doing, then I've reached a point where then I really want to do it. But nevertheless, 6 months ago, I would barricade the door in front of my bedroom with my running clothes. So I would put my running shoes down, my tights, and the t-shirt just laid in front of the door. I would set the alarm clock to 5 a.m. And no matter what, if I went out of that door without having my running clothes on, I would actively just let myself down. Because I told myself the evening before that then, no matter what you're doing, you are walking out of this door with your running shoes on, your tights on, and your t-shirt or whatever I was running in back then. So that's also a great way of making sure you get it done. Another guy, Tony Robbins, as many of you guys probably have heard of before, he also came up with, I was listening to one of his speeches at some point, and he suggested that what you could do, if there's something you really want to do, let's say it's an online course to build your habits or something like that, you can sign up for that course. Because even though you're not actually doing it, you have already made a deal somewhere in the future, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's really also another way of approaching it.
And I think it's relevant too in terms of like getting rid of bad habits, because you first have to become aware of them. And just going back to what you said about like eating healthy, it's funny because I feel like you really knocked down like working out and all that sort of stuff. And I feel like I'm really good at like eating healthy.
Yep, there we are.
Imagine if we were like one whole person, that would just be perfect.
Like a whole.
But anyway, so in terms of like eating healthy, I feel like over the years, and it's hard for me to explain like exactly how I did it, but over the years, I've just gotten used to associating healthy food with like the types of food that I enjoy eating, and unhealthy food with like feeling bloated and just feeling uncomfortable. So I know, like, if I go out to a restaurant and all of that, I wouldn't order like a burger ever or a pizza or anything like that. But just because I know, I associate that with like the unhealthy feeling I have afterwards, where I'm like, oh, I feel so unhealthy. So it's quite funny. I don't know, but I would rather have like salmon and rice and veggies and all of that instead of anything else.
Yeah, that makes sense. So really what you're doing right there is you're straight up just focusing on the end result. You're saying to yourself, if I eat this, this is how I will feel. I've tried it before and I recognized that I didn't feel good. So you're focusing on the end result. A book I'm reading, which is really famous on this point, is called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. In the second habit, he quotes the habit as being, begin with the end in mind. And that's really what you're doing, right? You're really just saying, if this is not making me feel good, I'm not going to do it. I actually just want to share these rules with you guys. So there's seven habits, as the title of the book says. The first habit is be proactive. The second one, like I just said, is begin with the end in mind. Third habit, put first things first. That's really more or less just about prioritizing what's most important for you. And then the fourth habit is think win-win. The fifth, seek first to understand, then to be understood. The sixth, synergize. And the seventh habit is sharpen the saw. And that's really basically just keep your skills up to date. Keep your habits up to date. I think if you go online right now, YouTube, look for some motivational speech or interview about just being kick-ass or whatever you want to call it. I'm almost 100% sure that the majority of people will say the hardest thing is always to keep the motivation up when you've become good at something. You can call it... It can be difficult to remain number one if you've already received that first place. How do you do it? You keep on practicing. You keep on getting better or sharpening the saw. That's really, when I've spoken with some of the guys I've interviewed, it's the same Dave said. The only thing is just that you got to focus on to say, know what you can control. Now, it doesn't make sense if you keep on thinking about, hey, I want to build better habits in this subject, but you can't control it. You got to think about something you actually can control. What are some of the things that you can control? You can control your weight to a certain extent. And I understand there's always going to be, oh, I have something with my body, I have a disease and so on. If that's the case, I understand. But even with that being said, I'm sure to a certain extent, there's always ways around it, I would say. So you can, to a certain extent, control your weight. You can definitely control your bank account. And you can also control your career. So now, if you don't have the results in your bank account or your career as you desire, hey man, then you know it is time for you to perhaps change your habits a little bit. Now, changing your career or changing your bank account is obviously a big step. So I recommend start out light, start with food, start with bedtimes. Yelena just said before she's focused on going to bed just a little bit earlier. Now, a little bit earlier doesn't have to be 2 hours. Start with 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's something that's tangible. It's something you can relate to.
Yeah.
So it's just obviously setting the alarm clock if you want to get up earlier to 15 minutes earlier. But if you want to go to bed earlier, then the other way around. And really just start out small. You don't have to do it big. Do something that's tangible and easy for you. You need to understand when you want to build habits, you gotta be one with the habit, as easy and cliche as that sounds. But you gotta say, all right, if I'm tempted to go to bed maybe 30 minutes later, say that's not who I am. You have to identify with the behavioral thing you are trying to create. So yeah, that's really one of the ways how you approach it.
Yeah, but at the same time, I totally feel the person out there who thinks like, oh, but if I have to get into a morning routine, I have to do it right, you know, like I have to do it all, like meditate, work out, like wake up early and all of that. I am like that too, I will admit. But it kind of changed my perspective, like that quote about doing a little better each day, like just improving by 1% each day. And in the long run, you can see the difference that it makes. I heard someone who rephrased that into, if you think about like clear jar and putting in like small jelly beans. So if you have a jar and you put in jelly beans, like just one jelly bean each day, and then suddenly like once you're have done that so many times, then the jar is filled up with jelly beans. So that's kind of how you can think about your habits. Like if you just improve by a little bit each day, then it will get better in the end. I think that's quite cool.
Yeah, it's a very good visual example, but I think it's very important on this topic also to be honest and say, I know you really want to fill up that jar of jelly beans or whatever, but that one jelly bean, that is ultimately, in my perception, it comes down to how do you approach and how do you conduct yourself during the day. So do you actually do the things that you want to do? Or are you just thinking it would be nice to fill up the jelly beans? Don't get me wrong, Juliana, don't get all mad and everything, but I just think it's...
No, you're right. You should have like the right intentions behind it for sure.
Well...
Is that what you mean?
Well, actions really is what I mean, because intentions is really more or less just up here, and that's all good. But the hard thing is really to stay consistent in doing the intentions or the goals or the things you want to change. There's something called progressive extremism, and that does sound very extreme to a certain extent. But yeah, for me as an individual, and I think it's more a archetypical thing of what kind of person you are and how you react in different situations. But for me, it helps a lot to say, you know, make it very black and white, such as, for instance, going running. I will barricade myself as the only way I'm getting out of that door is with my running clothes on. That's just how I get into habits the best. For instance, 2 days ago, I've always been very, I'm not going to use the word afraid, but to a certain extent, I think it would be a proper word, but I've never liked cold water, as in freezing cold water.
Like never? Not even when you wash your hands?
Well, no, I've never been a fan of cold water. It's not comfortable.
Do you have a fear of cold water?
Yeah, to a certain extent. Not a fear, but I just don't like it. I don't think it's comfortable. The human body is 37 degrees Celsius. And so if you want to expose it to something that's 2 or 3 degrees cold, then no, it doesn't make sense in my head, and it really never have. Nevertheless, I knew that it was time for me to sort of handle this thing with cold water. So I started taking cold showers inspired by a guy called Wim Hof. Amazing guy, but nevertheless, he focused on your breathing whilst you're taking cold showers and so on. So I started taking cold showers last week.
Like how cold?
To the coldest. There's like just the coldest. Okay. I would take a warm shower, and towards the end.
It sounds like something you would do in the military as like a test.
No,
because they don't have the right supply.
No. Well, but here is just a mental thing, right? Okay. It's all about, you know, it's not going to be comfortable, but I still have to do it. And on top of that, I don't like cold water. This is just me. I don't like being in a situation where I feel stuck, and is in this specific situation, it's just water that's limiting me. It's not dangerous for anyone if you're in there for 30 seconds to a minute. It's not comfortable. Nevertheless, I got in the shower. I did 2 or 3 days, cold water, 30 to 60 seconds. And 2 days ago, I jumped in the ocean or in the water here in Copenhagen. And to put it in perspective, it is, I believe, 4 or 6 degrees Celsius. So it's almost freezing cold. But I will tell you this. The thing that took up the most space there, in my head mentally, was definitely... And I say definitely, all of the thoughts and the feelings I associated with something being uncomfortable. So my mentality were not, you know, ready to actually jump into water. But I knew that I had to actually do it in order to change the mentality. So in the book, The Power of Habit, there's a lot of focus on cue, routine, reward. Mm-hmm. So my cue in this specific context was basically, all right, there's something I don't like, how do I change it? The routine was basically, all right, I changed it by starting out with taking cold showers, and then ultimately that became into jumping into the freezing cold water or ocean. The reward was basically then I felt better afterwards, and I sort of conquered that thing.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that's just a little story on my behalf.
Oh, so you didn't reward yourself with anything like that you did?
Honestly, the reward on my behalf is just the...
Like getting over that fear.
No, it's just the the end result in my head of seeing and feeling I did it. Because when you get up of the water, you realize it's, oh, it wasn't that bad after all. It's momentarily seconds of complete discomfort. But when you walk up or get up of the water, it's comfort. Because all of the dopamine and all of that, it just got poof, it almost exploded up in my head. A different example on my behalf is being a pilot and so on, towards the end of my flight training, and really when you're flying commercially, you always practice worst case scenarios. So there would be engine fires, it would be engine failures, it would be a severe damage to the engine, meaning basically the engine could fall off, but you still have to fly the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
What happens in the cockpit of one of the passenger jets, a Boeing 737 and so on, is basically you get a whole bunch of warnings. You would get it could be a fire warning, you would get a caution, and all sorts of lights sort of light up in the cockpit, but you still have to fly the airplane. If you don't fly the airplane, it's not safe for you or the passengers. Now, my point here, it's the same with the habits. Consider yourself as being the airplane. You gotta fly this airplane from A to B, that's your life. Now, if you don't remain in control of the airplane throughout the cruise or the trip from A to B, whilst having all of these warnings, you know, there's simply no control. You can draw a parallel with the whole habit thing to that. Now, build some habits in your life, even, you know, while you're going through all your warnings and all your cautions and whatever you have going on in your life. Just build some habits, small habits there and there where you see it being comfortable, and then be disciplined about it. I think that's really a great metaphor to just draw some parallels.
Yeah, and just some practical tips, because I know that I've been one of those people where I've heard so many times like, oh, you should build great habits and so on, and I'm like, how do I do that? And so a great tool is to print out a habit tracker, and you can find that online. We can also link it in the show notes. But basically just have like something that looks like a Excel sheet where you have all the habits to the left side, and then you kind of cross over, or you made a little cross on the days that you actually did them.
Mm.
And I think that's quite a good way of like starting it. But it's just, yeah, this is all about like finding out what works for you, because I've also found that when I have that habit tracker in a journal, for instance, then I kind of forget about it because it's in a book and I close the book. So for me, it's easier if I print it out and like have it on my wall or something like that. So it's clearly visible and I remember each morning like, oh yeah, I have to do this, instead of just like writing in it in a book, then I will forget.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh, that's a great example, and it really follows the whole, you know, think about it, visualize it, and then do it, right? So you sort of hit your brain in terms of thoughts and in different areas. For sure, that makes sense. Yelena, if we speak a little bit about discipline,
mm-hmm,
in the context of building habits, we've already mentioned it, but what would you say is relevant here?
I think it's important to mention like the notion that you have to, as a successful person, you have to like wake up at 4 a.m., work out, answer emails, and get everything done before everyone else wakes up. I know from my perspective, that's not really realistic in my eyes, and it doesn't really apply to me. I know that it totally depends on like your circumstances and your work and your lifestyle, but just because you see that online and you see so many like entrepreneurs and successful people do certain routines, it doesn't mean that you have to do that to be successful. You have to find out whatever works for you in your certain lifestyle. And I hope you can also see from like how we speak about this that Daniel and I have, we kind of have different like approaches to this, because I'm very much the person who I'm trying to become more in tune with my intuition, doing whatever feels right. And that's not to say that I'm like lacking in terms of good habits and all of that. Like, I know the importance of building healthy habits, but it still for me has to feel right, because I feel like when you get into a place where you feel like you have to work out or you have to meditate, it kind of just loses the point. Especially with meditation, that's such a calming practice. It's supposed to feel good. And if it suddenly feels like a chore, then it just loses the point. What do you feel about that?
So, question to that, Yelena. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, I'm assuming the example you brought up with meditation, as we've both done for the last week, you're saying it's supposed to feel good.
Yeah.
But don't you have to do something in order for you to actually make it a routine? Does that make sense? So you gotta, you know, it's not just like, hey, I want to try meditating. Then sure, you're one step closer to becoming a meditator. And I would even argue that you can call yourself that. But if the goal is to do it regularly, isn't it something you have to build a habit for?
Yeah, sure. And so that's why I just wanted to bring it up, because I've been debating myself about the link between self-discipline and self-compassion. Because, of course, like, having self-compassion is also about, like, standing up for yourself and doing what is right. But an example I have is there's a vlogger on YouTube called Jen Im, who just vlogs her life, and then she was talking about getting into this meditation practice, and she used an app to track her progress. She would get those like streaks that you get even on like Snapchat when you like snap a person back and forth each day, you get like that streak. So she would get like meditation streaks, and then she did that for like 100 days or something like that, like really long time. She would meditate every single morning and like track it in that app. But then she missed like one day and she started from scratch, and she was just vlogging that very candidly and being like, she felt like such a failure that she missed that one day, and it was annoying her so much that she would have to start from scratch again. And I could totally relate to that, because I would be that person too. If I had to do something each day and then missed a day, I would feel so bummed that I missed that day. And I just feel like, okay, but if that means that she might not meditate for like a month, then that totally defeats the purpose. So I think self-compassionate is about like, okay, you missed that one day, but like picking yourself back up and not feeling guilty about it is more like that guilty feeling that I want to avoid as much as possible, and kind of just like picking yourself up and getting back into the routine again. Because who cares? It doesn't matter if you missed that one day. It's more about like trying to get back into the routine.
Of course, and that makes sense. Absolutely. And I don't think it's you shouldn't forget that if she meditated for 100 days, she still meditated for 100 days.
Mm.
And now who sets the goals? Ultimately, that's herself setting the goals.
Yeah.
And I think the aim of these apps is really just to sort of motivate the people to meditate. And I think that's a great thing. Now, of course, if she's very competitive and all of these things, it will feel like a loss, a failure, if you will, if her goal was to go for 200 days.
Yeah.
But it's still better to go for 100 days than no days at all.
Yeah, it's all about perspective, because at the end of the day, like, yeah, it's just the thought that matters, even though that might to some people sound like, oh, like, kind of vague.
Yeah, no, it makes sense for sure.
So I guess throughout a process of like trying to get into a habit, just remember why you started to in the first place. For instance, with meditation, like, it's all about feeling better, and just remember that.
So I want to mention something about our beliefs. I'll keep it very brief and short, because I honestly think, Yelena, it's something we should have a whole episode about.
Okay.
But nevertheless, there is a guy called Dr. Joe Lipton, and he argues that, well, he doesn't argue, he actually comes up with scientific proof as well in terms of how your brain is vibrating and all these things. But nevertheless, he says that up until when you're 7 years old, your mind is just like a video recorder. It more or less just records everything what you see. Now, what do you see the most? You primarily see your parents the most, your family the most, and there are other kids at school and daycare the most. So, if we say that these three people are the ones you're seeing the most, that must also mean that that's the behavior pattern you're also adopting, meaning it becomes your belief to a certain extent.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my point is here, it's basically that even in this sort of little discussion me and Yelena had about habits, it ultimately also comes down to our beliefs. Where did we grow up? What did our parents, teachers, and all of these things about what is right and wrong? I'm not saying it's all of it, and I'm not saying you cannot change it. Definitely, you can change it, but it's also very important, in my belief, to be aware of your beliefs and your whole moral and ethics, if you will.
Yeah, it's about becoming very self-aware about your habits, your parents' habits, even like how you grew up and how that is reflecting on how you behave right now. Mm-hmm. Then some people might ask like, okay, how do you become really like self-aware? And I think that's all about like just really getting to know yourself. Right. For me, it took a lot of journaling, writing down my thoughts and feelings and kind of processing that, really analyzing yourself.
Do you ever get tired of being so organized?
What do you mean?
Because you know,
I might look very organized to you, but maybe I'm like, maybe I don't feel very organized. That's the thing. It's all about perspective.
No, I absolutely understand. It wasn't meant in a negative way at all. It's just a question, because I think when it comes to certain things, you know, we're the opposite, but at the same mindset wise, I think we're somewhat the same. Mm-hmm. And I personally think it's very fascinating how organized you are. And at the same time, it's very interesting that you don't feel as organized. So it's just a way of showing that, you know, that we're two different people, but still sort of managing, you know, whatever we want to do in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm very fascinated by like how self-disciplined you are. I would call it a little bit of like military mentality, just like forcing yourself to like take cold showers and things. I think it's cool. It's just not something I would enjoy doing.
Right. And really the interesting thing here would just be to be diving into art. So what sort of sets us apart? You know, is it our beliefs? Is it our upbringing? Is it what we're working with?
Yeah, is it even like the masculine and feminine energy? I'm not sure. Like
exactly.
It could be genetic. I'm not sure. But do I ever get tired of being too organized? No, I don't think so. It makes sense to me. Like, it's a way, for instance, when talking about habits, like I know I would have to build up like an organized system for me to track that. Otherwise, it's too fluffy in my head. So it's just, yeah, it's just how my brain is wired. I have so many thoughts. So for instance, an example yesterday, like I had to order new like skincare products because I've run out, which is not very practical when you're in self-isolation and all the stores are closed. But so I had to find new products, and I'm very picky about that. Like I want it to be without perfumes and alcohol, and want to be clean and all of that. So I'm that type of person. But I knew I had to buy a bunch of stuff, and then I would suddenly like lose track. I would find some products and then say like, oh, I had to remember to get like a skin toner too. I just had to write like a list of things down, like my whole routine down, to tick off all the boxes to make sure I got all the products.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, that's a great example.
It's a thing that I have to do. Like, it's not something that I necessarily like. Yeah, I do enjoy it, but I know I have to do it.
No, I understand. It's a way of living. Now, on my behalf, when it comes to being organized, I obviously with my work and being a pilot and all these things, you have to be organized. You sort of have to have the overview when it's needed and all of these things. That's just how you work. And don't get me wrong, I'm not organized. But I'm organized when I have to be organized. So in my personal life, when I want to set goals, if I have a lot of things to do, it helps me to make a to-do list and I always make a little square so I can sort of cross it out. Mm-hmm. That helps me. It gives me motivation to do it. You have to be organized if there's something you want to get through in a complex day or complex life or whatever. That's just how it is. Mm. So find whatever works for you and be organized about it, I suppose.
But then we aren't the same. Like, we're not that different then.
Well, to a certain extent, I would say yes. Because you're organized about everything, you know what I mean? And that's great. I really think it's much better, for sure. But again, it depends on what are we using it for. For instance, for this podcast, right? I'm this sort of guy, I've been used to giving keynotes. So I'm comfortable with just speaking with a few notes on my paper and the thoughts in my head. When we did the podcast, you created Trello, you created Google Docs, we got a mood board and the whole paper. That's a great thing because you're visualizing everything. Mm. But for me, as a person, I'm just used to writing some notes down and just sharing that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's just a way of using that as an example. But really, I will say, I really generally believe it's better to be as organized as you are, because it opens up for multiple reflections. And I think multiple reflection in most situations is a good thing. All right, all about being organized and so on. Yelena, if we take it further on to consequences, when building habits.
Yeah.
It could be everything from your social life, work, personal life, relationships. What would you say that some of the consequences are or could be?
Well, James Clear says in his book that you have to join a culture where your desired behavior is normal behavior.
Mm.
So for instance, if you really enjoy, just like we did actually, if we both really interested in self-development, we will connect with people just as Daniel and I have done, like that enjoys that.
Mm.
So we can talk to each other about that. And if you suddenly decided that you don't want to party or drink that much, then connect with people who don't do that either.
So two things to that. Okay. Very good point.
Mm-hmm.
The example you just mentioned, if you don't want to connect with people who drink and party, then don't do that. That makes sense. The hardest thing is just to make the decision to actually not do that. Because what you've ultimately done is you build up your habits about going out, partying and drinking with your friends, and that's where you feel comfortable. So now, and I'm speaking from personal experience, if you want to get away from that, what happens is that you will feel lonely. You feel like you're out of reach. Not out of reach, but you're out of touch with the people you used to have fun with. Remember, that's your perceived kind of fun at that given situation. So it's not easy to change that, but I think it's a very good idea to change that. Now, the quote you mentioned before, join a culture where you decide behavior is normal behavior.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You ever heard that phrase saying, if you are the smartest person in the room, you need to find a new room?
Yeah. And also that quote about you are a reflection of who the people you surround yourself with. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, exactly. It normally goes like you're a reflection of the 7 or 10 people you spend the most time with. But yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And that goes the same for this one. Join a culture where you decide behavior is normal behavior. So if you want to change something, find new people. On my behalf, I would say 3 years ago, I sort of made a conclusion that it was time for me to spend time with different people, when spending time with my friends, all of these things, more goal-oriented people and so on. And what really happens is that it changes your life. It changes your beliefs. It changes your approach to income. It changes your approach to work and all of these things. You then become the reflection of the 7 or 10 people you spend the most time with.
Yeah, I remember that. You had this little chart. Do you remember that? Like some squares or something where you were like, you wanted to not prioritize like social life and parties. And then you had other stuff. It was on your home screen.
Hmm.
On your phone.
Yeah, no, actually, I don't completely remember that.
I just remember you like showing me, or you're like, yeah, these are the areas that I really want to focus on, and this is what I don't want to focus on. So you had it on your home screen on your phone to remind yourself at all times. I was like, wow.
But that's really just I suppose that's my way of being organized about that, because I know I'm looking at my phone multiple times at the day. So if then I can get the visual picture of, you know, focus on this, focus on that, through my eyes and into my head, then ultimately I'm being exposed more to it and I will think more about it. It's my belief when it comes to this.
Yeah, and again, you have to be extremely self-aware to do that. Yeah. Like, really know yourself. I know too that you're a very visual person. That's why I created like those mood boards and things to the podcast, because it's like, oh, Daniel would really get this if he sees it like in a visual way.
Right, yeah.
But then again, I would also argue that you don't have to cut out parties just because you don't drink. Like, I've done that so much. Like, gone to parties and not drink. And I know it's annoying from like a peer pressure perspective, because there are always going to be people who are like, oh, why don't you drink and all that. But ultimately, if they are your friends, they will understand. And I've gone through so many periods in my life where I just don't feel like drinking. Like, I don't feel like drinking alcohol at all. And then I would still go to parties, and I would just, it's actually so much more fun to just observe the people there when they're drunk. And the way they act and so on, because it's you see some things that you don't really observe when you're drunk yourself.
I'm telling you this, Irene, I've worked in a nightclub for 3 years.
Yeah.
So that could maybe, well, actually 4 or 5 years, but that could actually also be my sort of my approach about just cutting it out is the way it is. Nevertheless, I always tell people, when you meet people in a club, it's more like Animal Planet. When people get a little bit to drink, they get honest. They do what they feel like. And it's sort of, you have the lions in the room, you have the gazelles in the room.
Oh, the guys who's like on a hunt.
Not necessarily the guys, but it's very physically dominated, right? It's always the guy after the girl or the guy after the guy or the girl after the girl, you know, all of these things. But it's very, very much dominated of such a setting. So that's about parties versus drinking and how it affects your life. moral licensing. Let's imagine you want to build a habit of going running and working out. I think what most people do is that they are trying to build, let's call it, a expert routine. So you want to train like a marathon runner. You want to do like a marathon runner. But then your mindset is like an amateur mindset. Now that might sound very harsh, but really when I think about it, I think that's the case in most situations. My point here is just you cannot have an expert routine but have an amateur mindset. It needs to go together. And that's really some of the consequences. So what happens then? If you go out and run maybe 5 miles or 10 kilometers or something like that, then your routine is saying, oh, I'm working out like an expert. But then when you get home, if you have an amateur mindset, you're saying, all right, I ran 10 kilometers. Now I can eat some chocolate because I deserve it. I'm 100% sure that you, Yelena, and I, and some of the guys who's listening to this right now have definitely tried that before. Yeah. Point being, routine and mindset need to go together if you want to get the absolute best result out of it.
Oh, you mean so you have to eat healthy if you exercise a lot?
Well, ultimately, it depends on your goal. But if you want to get the maximum results, the most positive consequence of making a choice and building a habit, you got to connect routine to mindset. They both got to be an expert. Okay. One cannot be amateur and the other can be expert.
But that's a good thing, though, because I think that once you get into just one routine, for instance, meditation, studies have shown that you're more likely to eat healthy and things because you're more mindful throughout the day.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a good thing then, because once you get into one routine, you're more likely to get into another.
Right. But and that's really...
Is that like the conclusion?
Huh. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a beautiful conclusion. And that's really my biggest, biggest advice when it comes to these things is basically... Take something you're very disciplined about. So if you're disciplined about your work, use the same mindset you're using at your work and transfer that over to meditation. Transfer that over to running. Transfer that all over to learning about relationships. So whatever it is you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I did. I took American football. It helped my life. It saved my life when I was around 13 or 14. It's the same thing I'm using today. If you spend enough time at running and running into people, tackling people, at some point you get up, you end up becoming very good at this. Now, when you're good at it, I wouldn't call you an expert, but you're good at it and you know what it takes to be good at something. Now, it's the same thing you're doing you have to do in every other situation to become good at that. You just need to tweak it. You need to change it a little bit to that setting. It's like Monopoly when you were younger, right? You have to learn the rules in order to... You remember Monopoly, right?
Yeah, the board game.
Yeah, exactly. You have to learn the rules of the whole game. When you don't learn the rules, I believe you roll a dice or something, then you can go X amount of spaces. But there's always something unforeseeable happening in Monopoly.
Mm.
So then you use your money to sort of navigate throughout those challenges and so on. It's the same to a certain extent. You need to learn the rules of the game and then get the best of it.
Yeah, and the strategic people always do the best.
Well, even the strategic people can end up going to jail, right? And end up getting in the context of Monopoly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it then becomes different. All right, Yelena, we need to sum it up today. What did we learn today? What would you say? Bottom line, what is it?
So I think bottom line, you just have to be really self-aware and test different things to figure out what will work for you. Like, don't be afraid to reflect, see what you want to change about your life, start small. So yeah, the topics that we covered today was how to build effective habits, what it takes, how to be disciplined, the difference between self-discipline and self-compassion, and then the consequences that come with that.
Spot on. All right, guys, do not forget to subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. We'd also really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast, as that would help us to know what you like and what we're doing.
You can also share this podcast episode with a friend who's looking to kickstart some new habits, and that would help us to grow our community.
If you want more from us, then check out our social links in the show notes and connect with us on Instagram. My name on Instagram is Daniel's Part of Life.
And mine is at Juliana Chow.
Perfect. Also, make sure to leave us a voice message on anchor.fm. It really just makes it more simple for us, and then we can answer your questions if you do have any questions.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening, guys.
We'll speak to you next time.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Au revoir. Auf Wiedersehen.